to live righteously.
It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. It's episode number 160, where in the second and the third block, we visit with Madeline Page from The Voice. And then here in just a second, we're going to visit with Lacey Sessions. She's the turkey slurper. Yeah, we're all over the place in this episode, but happy to bring it to you, and thank you for listening. Remember, you can give us a review on iTunes or on Stitcher. You can also find every episode available at theculturalhall.com. You can find us on Facebook, The Cultural Hall. You can find us on Pinterest. Thank you, Carly. You can find us on Google+. Thank you, Tyson. You can find us on Twitter. Did I mention that already? At The Cultural Hall. Thank you, Michael. And make sure you do that. Make sure you get us on all things. Oh, and Instagram, too. Thank you, Anna. So check all us. What? English? Check us out on all of those things. I wanted to share a couple emails before I get into that thing with Lacey Sessions, who, the turkey slurper. Do you know what that is? Yeah, stick around for that. It's crazy. I'll post a video, too, in association with this episode of theculturalhall.com. This email is from Kaysen. Hey, guys, I just listened to the most recent edition of Articles of News, that being from February 9th, wherein Rob confused Nampa, Idaho with Napa, the wine region in California. Funnily enough, writes Kaysen, Nampa is about 5 minutes from the wine region of southern Idaho. Also, apparently, southern Idaho has a wine region. I grew up in the area and only found out about it after my mission. Anyway, keep up the good work. Sincerely, Kaysen Christensen. P.S., says Kaysen Christensen, I'm not from Utah, but I recently learned to my chagrin that my name did originate in Logan. P.P.S., if you ever need an outsider's perspective on Utah Mormony events, I currently live in Provo and would be happy to call in or visit the Cultural Hall. Kaysen, we'd love your help, and I'll be sending you an email about how you could help us. So that email from Kaysen Christensen, you can always just email us, richie@theculturalhall.com, or there is a Contact Us tab that you can find at theculturalhall.com. And then what episode wouldn't be complete without an email from Kevin? This one says, Hi, Richie. I listened to the show where you discussed Mormon myths with the person who runs holyfetch.com. I remember reading an email shortly after 9/11 from the church about the myth that missionaries missed their bus to the World Trade Center that day or that other missionaries slept in. The email the church sent out said it wouldn't be logical for a zone conference to be held at the World Trade Center. I remember a Mormon myth that you did not cover that went something like this. There were two sister missionaries, and someone wanted to rape one of the sister missionaries, but he didn't. When asked about this later, he replied, I was scared of the other missionary standing next to her. I can't remember if the elders were mentioned in the myth or really much about the myth. So that's his myth, apparently. I do have a recommended guest for the show, writes Kevin. You should have Brent Ashworth. He is LDS and collects old documents. I think the main reason that you should have him on is because he had a lot of dealings with Mark Hoffman. In fact, the bomb that that injured Mark Hoffman at the old Deseret Gym parking lot was supposed to have been for Brent Ashworth, but Brent Ashworth didn't show for that Wednesday meeting that Mark and Brent did every week. I think he would be fascinating to have on the show and talk about documents that he has collected and why he continued dealing with Mark Hoffman even though he was suspicious before Mark killed people and injured himself. Now, for people who don't know who Mark Hoffman is, you can Google search the Salamander Letters, and I think it's a great idea, great suggestion for the Cultural Hall, Kevin. So I will be taking your suggestion, and we'll try and get Brent Ashworth on in the future. In the meantime, enjoy this interview that I had with Lacey Sessions, and then the second and third block, Madeline Page from The Voice. She was coached by Usher and that Blake Shelton guy, too. That's coming back here in just a minute.
Hey, Richie, how's it going?
So good. How are you?
Oh, just grand.
Yeah?
You know, hanging out at the University of Utah campus.
What? That's too grand. That's too grand. That's the problem.
Right?
You know. Oh, man. You make that trek every day?
I do. And we have one car currently, so you could say it's pretty magical.
Yeah, you could say that, but that would be a huge lie, because that sounds like a huge inconvenience for both of you.
Yeah, it's not too bad, though, you know?
You ready to do this thing?
Yeah, what are you going to ask me, or what am I supposed to say?
Don't worry about it. Ready? Here we go. Coming down in 3, 2, 1. It's time for another episode of The Cultural Hall. It's episode number 160. In the second and third block, we're going to be visiting with Madeline Page, who you may or may not recognize from The Voice. Plus, she's got a great new album that's self-titled coming out, and we play a little bit of that in the second and third block. So stick around for that. Right now, on the phone with me, it's the turkey slurper herself, Lacey Sessions. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
If you have not yet seen this video online yet, you need to stop this episode right now. Go to your YouTube and search Turkey Slurpee and then resume this interview. So I'll give you the pause in the second to do that. Okay, now everyone's back. All right, Lacey, I have a question for you. How would you best describe what you do in the video?
Okay, how I do this? I would just say it's magic. Just suck the turkey, goes down. Pretty simple.
It's just a regular thin piece of lunch meat that you put in front of your mouth, and then it's there 1 second, and it's gone the next second.
That is correct.
Several things about this. How do you learn that you can do that is the first.
Well, I learned it by accident. I used to just suck it into my mouth, and one of the times it actually went down my throat. And I was quite surprised, and so my friend said, hey, let's record this, and we did it.
So now, is this something that you learned as a kid, or are you talking about, like, in the recent history that you were doing this and it happened?
More recent history. A couple years ago, discovered the talent.
And then you just decided, you know what, YouTube would be a great home for this talent.
Well, I had some, you know, coercing some people who kind of said, you know, said, hey, let's put this on YouTube, and I was like, all right, why not?
But it's putting yourself out there with a really sort of weird thing. I think it, I mean, it's awesome. And we'll talk about how many people have viewed this. But it seems to me where it's just like, okay, so I'm going to take a piece of deli meat and swallow it. Sure. Okay, I'll put that out on YouTube.
Right. It is a little bit weird, but, you know, that's all right. I'm okay with it.
So was it your husband pushing you to do it, or who was really encouraging you to put it out there?
Husband, friends, about it.
And up to this point, as of this moment, while we're talking, how many people have watched it?
So for the Turkey Slurpee, there's a couple of them, but the one that has the most views is 1.5 million, I think.
Mm-hmm. Does that blow your mind a little bit?
I'm quite surprised because we weren't doing it to get a lot of views. We weren't, you know, expecting anything like that, and it just kind of took off. So either people are bored or it's really cool. I'm not sure yet. So I think people are bored.
There's one that's in slow motion, too, isn't there?
Right. Yep, there's the slow-mo one.
I hope that we'll post these videos in association with this episode so people can check it out. But there's a moment in the slow motion one that I absolutely love that you wouldn't capture if it weren't slow-mo. The facial expression and how everything looks just it makes me laugh almost to the point of tears in my eyes.
It is pretty ridiculous, and then I see, oh yeah, I look awesome doing that, so it's great.
So you do something like this and it starts to gain some traction. Are you guys able to make any money off of something like this?
Well, supposedly we've made some, but we haven't seen any cash flow yet. I guess they do it quarterly, so it's supposed to be coming up. So, you know, if you don't see me for a few weeks, I'll be in the Bahamas.
Is that really what the plan with the money is?
Well, we actually are going to go to Alaska, so not the Bahamas.
It's like the anti-Alaska or anti-Bahamas is Alaska.
Right.
What are you guys doing up there?
We're just going to go over there for 10 days, do some travel and look around and hang out.
Make sure that you do the fishing for the halibut. I did that before when I went to Alaska. It's awesome. It's freezing.
Hey, we'll have to check it out. I'll do the halibut slurpee.
Yeah. Gross. Oh, my gosh. which does bring me to the next question that I have, though, is so people, and it happens so much, it seems like, people will very kind of innocently become YouTube sensations, if I can use that term to define what this is and what you are. Is it now a point where you're like, oh, hey, maybe there's this thing that I could do for YouTube, and hey, what about this? And you continue to constantly want to develop that, or is this kind of just a one-off where you go, meh, that was fun?
I'd say pretty mildly, you know, I've discussed with a friend of mine, like, hey, we should do some more YouTube or do a blog or something, but nothing really in the works. I did do a how-to tutorial on the turkey slurpee, but that was about it. So just...
But you guys also, too, I've noticed in just the last couple of days, people are starting to come after the turkey slurpee.
Oh, yeah, there's some angry people. They think I'm a murderer. Oh, actually, one person said I had the spirit of Satan, so watch out.
Well, I'm going to ask you a hard question right now.
Okay.
Do you have the spirit of Satan?
Well, am I allowed to stay on air?
Do you think that those people are really being real or being honest with you? Like they're really coming at you saying that you're possessed?
There was one person that said that, and then, you know, there's some other people that are like, read your Bible, but mostly people are saying that I'm doing a dangerous stunt, I'm promoting it for children. There's actually one CBS reporter from New York who said that a 15-year-old girl went to the ER. However, I never challenged anybody, so that's kind of on their own accord.
So what you're saying is, hey, you never said, hey, now you should try this at home, so it's up to, you know, people not being dumb not to do it themselves.
Right. On the how-to tutorial from Pleasant Green, at the end of it, I actually say, don't try this at home.
Now, kids, you might be thinking this, you might be watching this video and thinking, huh, I would love to swallow some deli meat really quick and put it on YouTube, but you probably shouldn't. So, that's awesome.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I guess we can't take kids to circuses anymore because they're going to try to swallow swords and fire. So
it almost seems like that, right? It's like, well, if anyone does anything, there's always going to be people who will be like, oh, you know, someone tried to do that and then they died. It's like, yeah, because that person was dumb. Don't
right.
Don't do something like that. And you don't want to be that rude or you don't want to be that abrasive about it. But it's like, well, because that kid is dumb.
And I might be dumb for doing the turkey slurpee, but right. I'm okay with it. I had fun.
Right, but you are accepting the responsibility for you doing it and not for other people. I get it. I get what you're saying.
Yep.
Are there any plans for anything in the future? You said you talked about stuff, but anything concrete you want to tease people with?
Not yet. Just keep your eyes open. How about that for a teaser?
Oh, nothing? You can't even, like, not even a little turkey sneak peek?
Well, not yet.
Okay. All right. you know, you got to do something if you haven't already thought of it, and I'm sure that you have based on you and also the intelligence of your husband as well, but with Thanksgiving coming up, you have to do something special for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I've got to do something. I've just got to get a lawyer first.
Yeah.
And we'll be good to go.
Yes, absolutely. I would get a lawyer first, and then you can do something for Thanksgiving.
Sounds like fun.
Eating the lawyer. Is that what we're getting at? That got weird really quick, didn't it?
Yeah.
It's Lacey Sessions. You guys can check out the video. I'll post it in association with this episode at theculturalhall.com so people can check out the how-to and the slow motion, which is my favorite, and just the regular original video. And I look forward to whatever it is that you've got coming up. When you guys put it out, will you make sure and get in touch with me so we can talk about it?
You betcha. We will.
All right. Good luck. Don't do it too much because, I mean, statistically, right? You could maybe it'd be one of those times where you hurt yourself or something goes wrong. The deli meat's too thick or something.
And it's a high cholesterol trick as well. So keep that in mind.
Yeah. See, so if you do it too much, geez, and then your heart failure. See, that you are the cause of heart attacks.
That's me. Spirit of Satan.
Thank you, Lacey.
Okay, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Hey, it's time for the second block of the Cultural Hall, and very honored and I don't want to say intimidated, but man, it's an entourage of people and a beautiful, talented Madeline Page here in the Cultural Hall with us. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, Madeline Page, you may hear that voice and go, okay, well, I've heard Madeline Page. Where do I know that name from? The Voice is probably where most people would know, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. It's a fascinating process, I think, to do sort of that. It's kind of reality TV. So how did you get to be on The Voice?
So I did a local competition here in Utah. And
what was that?
It's called Vocal Sport.
Okay.
And I had done it before, I think. And anyways, so I did it, and they posted our videos on YouTube, and I think they sent some to The Voice, and a voice producer ended up contacting my mom and I and inviting me to have a private audition for The Voice.
Cool.
So, yeah.
So now when you say vocal sport and it's a competition, like my mind immediately goes to vocal and sport. It's not only that people are singing, but you're also doing like 50-yard dashes and you have to jump over things.
Oh yeah,
and
totally.
That. What kind of things do you have to do for the competition?
Well, luckily we don't have to run and do relays while we're singing,
yeah.
But that would be pretty awesome though.
That would be cool. Kind of like this decathlon of talent. Anyway, so what do you have to do?
So basically there are different age groups, mm-hmm. and you compete within your age group.
Okay.
And they pick different winners, and there's like an overall winner, and then there's other singers who get other prizes.
Okay.
So I was competing in my age group.
Which is what? How old are you?
I am 17 now.
Okay.
Then I think I was like 15.
Okay.
Or maybe newly 16 when I did the competition. And so I was in, you know, like the middle group, teenage age
range. Still trying to figure out, I don't know where I fit in, kind of thing.
Exactly.
Everybody who's ever been a teenager is going,
exactly.
We've been there. We've
been
that.
For sure.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of how it works. And it's actually kind of funny because I didn't even place in that competition. But I guess
for some reason, the video got sent to a producer and they went, that Madeline Page, eh?
Yep.
Is it original works that you had to submit as part of the competition, or was it cover songs? And if it's a cover song, what did you sing?
For The Voice?
Yeah, for the sport competition.
Well, I think I just signed up or registered.
Okay.
And I mean, it's really easy to get into. So I think that's just what I did. And then I went and I sang one song, just a minute and a half song.
Okay.
And yeah.
And so then you don't end up placing, though, in the actual thing. Producers go, hey, we want to see you. So then you get flown out to California or somewhere to meet the producers?
I went to Vegas
okay.
for my very first audition. Yeah.
How nerve-wracking was that?
It was really nerve-wracking. Yeah. I had kind of pretty bad stage fright during that time, so mm-hmm. I didn't ever want to do anything like that at the time. And
perform for anyone? You just wanted to keep it to yourself? Is that what you
yeah.
mean?
Yeah. I don't know what it was, but at that specific time, I just really, really struggled with you know, performance anxiety.
Was it a confidence issue? You didn't feel like you were any good, or just nervous because you hadn't done it?
Yeah, I think it was kind of, I didn't really believe in myself, and I let my fear get the best of me,
mm-hmm.
and I hated the anticipation leading up to performing, and I would just turn everything down. So I was kind of in that little phase during the time that The Voice discovered me, so mm-hmm. I actually originally wanted to say no, but I talked to my parents, and I thought over it, and I realized it's such an incredible opportunity. I mean, I can't turn it down. This doesn't just happen, you
sure.
know? So I did it, and I'm so glad I did.
Is it one of those things where you talk about how you recognize that it was a big opportunity? Was it one of those things where your parents were like, this is a big opportunity that if you will be grounded, if you do not take this opportunity, you are going to do this? Was it that, or was it actually your choice to go and do? It's okay. She's here, but pretend that she's not here.
Pretend she's not here. I don't know that they were super forceful about me doing it. They were more, they just let me know that they really, really wanted me to do it and mm-hmm. that they thought it would be a really, you know, good thing for me. And the way my mom said it was just that if I did it, it would be, you know, a good experience because she's like, you know, chances are that nothing's going to come of it. You know, because mm-hmm. there's so many people that try out for the show. So it would just be a great audition experience.
Yeah.
And so I took that and I didn't think anything would come of it. But, yep, that didn't happen.
Yeah, it obviously went the different way.
Yeah.
I can just kind of hear the conversation now where it's like, you know, Madeline, the choice is yours. You can choose to do whichever you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
Your father and I will be very disappointed in you if you choose to not do it, but yeah. I mean, it's your choice.
It definitely went something along
you
those
can,
lines.
I mean, you can take the talents that God has given you and not use them. I mean, if that's what you want to do, but that's your choice.
No, yep.
I just remember conversations with parents like that.
Yes.
So you go out and you go to Vegas and mm-hmm. you do this big interview and, you know, there's kind of the attitude of you're like, I don't really know how it's going to go, but you know what? It's an experience.
Yeah.
So at what point did it change where you're like, hey, maybe this will be something. Maybe I'm going to actually be on this.
Well, through the audition process of the first audition, you kind of have an idea if you make it to a certain point, if there's a chance that they're going to call you back.
Okay.
But I didn't really know till months later until we got a call and they told me that I had made it to the next round.
Mm-hmm.
So
what's that phone call like?
It was, well, because we had waited a couple months, it was, you know, building that suspense. And when we actually got the call, I remember, I think we were at like my sister's dance competition or something. And we saw the number ring and we're like, oh my gosh. And we just ran outside and we had it on speaker, I think. Uh-huh. And we were just huddled. My mom and I were just huddled over my phone. And yeah, and she said I had made it to the next round. So it was insane. I was actually happy about it.
Uh-huh. At that point, you finally probably convinced yourself that you're like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
I'm on board to do this.
Exactly. Yeah.
And a lot of those really high-pitched girl screams, too, after the phone call was done.
I'm sure. Yeah. I was just, I couldn't believe it, honestly. It was, I really did not think I was going to move on because there are thousands of people that try out.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought, oh, you know, they see so many people. Like, what are the chances?
So then what does the next round mean? What happens there?
The next round was in California, and
so they fly you out and put you up, and
yep.
your mom's there, too,
mm-hmm.
saying, all right, now we need to make sure we know where we're going, and
yep.
oh, watch your hair. And
exactly.
Is your mom pretty stage mommy?
You know, she actually is not too bad with being a stage mom. She's really supportive though. But my dad is actually, it's funny because my dad's more of a stage dad than
really?
My mom is a stage mom. Yeah.
And you can say that because he's not here.
Yeah. There you go.
So you go out to California and is it at this point where you're singing for the judges or is it not that point still another producer that you're singing for?
There was one more before The Blind and it was just similar and just sang some songs and then waited again. And yeah, then The Blind was after that.
So when you do the, for people that don't know about like these reality shows, and correct me if I'm wrong, you kind of are there with a bunch of other people who have also made it to this next step. And it's this awkward, like where you're kind of sizing everyone up in the room and everyone's kind of nice. But really, you know that they'd stab you in the back if it meant that they could get on the show and that you wouldn't.
Yep.
Was there ever a time in all that that you were just like, you know, maybe this isn't the thing for me?
In the beginning when we were staying at this hotel and, you know, there were the other contestants there, it was, I didn't think I was going to make any friends. I was like, we're competing against each other. I mean, why, what's the point of making friends? Because
right.
we are competition. And I thought at the time that I was going to be like one of the few youngest people there, so you know I wouldn't have anyone my age anyways, and that was a little bit, I guess, I wanted that, so it was kind of disappointing for me because that's how I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. But really, there were a lot of kids that were my age, and it turned out that I made a lot of friends. And it is a little awkward because you're making these friends, but you're also competition.
Right.
So that's definitely a little awkward, but
I hope you do great, but not too great, because I want in.
Exactly.
I hope you do really good, but not better than me.
Yeah, yeah. It's just not my favorite thing, but I actually did. I was able to make some really, really good friends, some lasting, like, lifelong friends.
That's cool. That's great. So then you get into the blind audition.
Mm-hmm.
And what is that like? For people that may not even know this show, give an idea of what that is.
So, well, we're staying at this hotel, and we prepare for a while to do the blind, to, you know, till the week of the blinds, which is just, so you're, you know, it's building suspense over time, and
you're working on songs during all this time.
Yeah.
And how long are we talking? Like a couple weeks that you're there? And
yeah.
With coaches?
I think we were there for about a month.
Oh my gosh.
It was a while. Yeah. But it was really nice because they provided a lot for us and, you know, a lot of resources to help us be ready
mm-hmm.
for that one moment, you know. So I'm actually glad that I got that time because I wouldn't have been nearly as ready if I hadn't had that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, we practiced our songs. We got our wardrobe and, you know, just got all ready for the actual moment, and yeah.
So let me ask you this, because I've heard this about several contestants, members of the church who have gone and competed on things like this, with modesty and costumes. Mm-hmm. Was that ever something that you had to address and say, this is what I'm not going to wear?
Yeah. In the beginning, we were a little worried about that because we did have all these wardrobe appointments and we saw what some of the other contestants got dressed in. And so, you know, my mom and I were a little concerned, but I think one of my very first wardrobe appointments, we told them just right off, you know, this is what I'm not going to wear. And this is what I will wear. And thank goodness, you know, they were just so understanding and they didn't even really question it the rest of the time. And they totally understood, and they're
cool.
Really respectful.
That's cool. Because I know that other people have not had such great experiences as far as some of that stuff goes.
For sure.
People getting pushed into things and then ultimately having to say, you know what? I'm not going to do the show.
Yeah.
I'm done. I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to compromise that. So then we get to the point, to the blind audition. What's that like? Specifically, like that moment, what's going through your head?
Well, that was the scariest moment of my life.
Wait till you have kids. Right? Am I right, Mom?
Yeah.
But up to now, that'll
probably
years and years.
Yeah, yeah.
But
years
up to
come,
now.
But up to now, that is definitely the scariest moment of my life. And I mean, you can't really even imagine the pressure because I mean, first time on national television, there's these four celebrity coaches that you've watched your entire life, and their backs are faced to you.
Who are the coaches at this time? Because I know they've had several different coaches and judges.
Yeah, Blake Shelton, Adam Levine, Usher, and Shakira.
Okay.
Were the coaches. So, I mean, just this immense amount of pressure. I mean, you can't even imagine it until you're in that position. And, you know, I got separated from my mom, went backstage, and I felt like I was going to cry. I was so nervous. I felt nauseous. And, you know, the producers kind of pumped me up a little bit. And I guess I was ready as I could be, you know. But nothing really could have prepared me to feel what I felt. And, you know, I walked out on that stage. And I don't know. I remember, like, I saw the side of Blake, you know, like his arm or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I just panicked because I don't know, it hit me, you know, it was real, like this was really happening. So, and then from there it's kind of a blur, the whole thing.
Yeah.
I was on that stage for, I mean, it's longer than it is on TV.
Sure.
Because they, you know, cut it down, but you know, the whole thing, I think I kind of blacked out a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was incredible.
What did you sing?
Titanium.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Slowed down version.
And so you get done.
Mm-hmm.
And then what?
And then Usher and Shakira, they had turned for me, and they went back and forth for quite a while, and were just trying to persuade me, I guess, to go on one of their teams, and I ended up going with Usher.
Yeah,
in the
what
end.
A decision, though. I mean, you're looking, like you said, these people that you have watched and listened to and all these things throughout your life, and you're going, wait, which one am I going to pick?
Exactly.
Why did you end up going with Usher?
Honestly, I really had no idea up till the last minute when the thought just popped into my head, you know, go with Usher. And he also had said something, though, before about how he would always kind of be there to support me. And he seemed, he seemed just really genuine and to really mean that. And so I guess for that reason, I kind of just last minute went with him.
Yeah.
And yeah.
It's an interesting thing because I don't know in any other situation when the Holy Ghost would prompt to go with Usher. You know what I'm saying? It's like, well, here's a steel smoke. Go with Usher. All right. Well, okay.
It's
here
so
we go.
True. Yeah.
I'll follow that voice. And people may argue whether or not that was the case, that it was the Holy Ghost. But sure, why not?
Why not?
It could be. Go with Usher. I have to be really quiet to hear that still small voice. And so then what's the rest of the show like?
Well, after that, I rehearsed with Usher a couple times, had my first battle.
Surreal, isn't it? It's got
to
be.
So surreal. So surreal to be standing in front of someone like that. I mean, he's so confident and he has this huge, like, ego, and you can just feel, you know, his confidence. It just comes off of him. And so that was amazing to be in his presence and to have him, like, mentor me.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, you know, I battled Tanner James, who is also from Provo, Utah, where I'm from, and went to my same high school. And I mean, what are the chances of that? So that was an incredible experience. And then I moved on from that to the next battle. And after that, I got stolen onto Blake Shelton's team and was in the playoffs. And yeah, it was just incredible.
I want to take a break for a second, and then we'll come back. And I want to talk about the final moments of that show for you, and then what you've been doing since, and give people an opportunity to hear some of that. So we'll come back here in the third block of the Cultural Hall.
Hi, this is Dan, the Laptop Man from PC Laptops in Salt Lake City, where all of our computers have been hand-built in Utah for over 21 years. I've got the most amazing deal on the planet for you. The PC Laptops S1 desktop computer. It's a PC Laptops desktop computer covered forever for $799. It has a blazing fast processor, so it's perfect for home, business, or school. A computer is only as good as its warranty. So how long is its warranty? 1 year? 10 years? Hang on, it's lifetime parts and labor, so everything is covered forever. Viruses, hard drives, RAM, everything. How much does it cost? $799. It's only $799. That's right, $799 for a blazing computer that's warranted forever. You have nothing to lose. Quantities are highly limited, so run into any one of our 8 locations right now or call us at 1-877-596-SAVE or check us out at PCLaptops.com. At PCLaptops.com, we love you.
All right, so ultimately, though, you're not on the show anymore.
No.
Heartbreaking?
It was disappointing in the moment, especially, but after I realized that I had made it that far for a reason, and you know, everything really does happen for a reason, so that kind of carried me through, and I just thought of all the positive that had come from the experience and everything that I learned, and in a way it was a relief because it was such a pressure, you know, a pressuring time and stressful time for me, and so to be home and to be back where I was comfortable was kind of a relief. So
what are some of the things that you learned from it?
I learned to be more confident. I got over my stage fright.
Yeah, you'd have to pretty quick. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was great. And I learned a lot about performing, and I really tried to take in everything that the coaches gave me, and I learned so much from the process, and I grew so much.
Do you replay the last performance again and again in your mind? Oh, I would have done this, or oh, I could have done this, or do you just leave it?
Yeah, I definitely have some regrets about the performance. I was originally going to do it slowed down, more me-like, mm-hmm. and I ended up doing the fast, upbeat version of the song because I wanted to show a different side of me, and the producers thought it would be smart, and I did too, so...
What song was it?
I did that. Clarity.
Okay.
By Zed. And so I ended up doing that and ended up regretting it afterwards because I didn't feel like I was able to show everything and, you know, just things like that. And I did try my best in the moment of the performance, but I definitely know that I could have done better. And... So that kind of haunted me for a long time, you know, thinking, what if? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you can't really think that because what's happened has happened.
Right.
And I really do think that I went just to that point for a reason. And, you know, now I'm getting to do this and to do my own music. And that's what I've always wanted to do, even before The Voice. So... Yeah, it's a blessing for sure.
So let's talk about this, what you're getting to do now. You've been picked up by Highway Records, mm-hmm. and you're doing, it's a self-titled. I always like to make the joke where it's like Madeline Page and her album self-titled, but really it's just Madeline Page and it's self. Anyway, it's an inside, it's an inside joke with me, which I've always wanted someone to name the album self-titled, mm-hmm. just because.
That'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Clever.
I think that it's hilarious. No, everyone else like you and everyone else in this room is going, I don't really think it's that funny. But to me, I think it's hilarious. And the single off that right now is Irreplaceable. I want to take a second and I'm going to play a little bit of it. And then
awesome.
We'll come back and we'll talk about kind of where it came from and everything about it. Okay?
Great. Somehow I find a way. It's never easy. Why is it so hard? All I've ever wanted is to be. Them. I don't understand why I am who I am. When I find I'm all alone, I gotta tell myself I'm irreplaceable. Bending backwards, trying to be someone else. I'm still myself, I'm irreplaceable. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
All right, so that's called Irreplaceable. Did you talk about how you want it to be your own music. So did you write that?
I did, yeah. I actually wrote it before The Voice, and I was a sophomore in high school.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, awesomely talented. You're one of those people that people go, yeah, sure, yeah, give them all the talent. Now I'm just using. Is it something that you like to do in addition to performing is the writing? Do you like mm-hmm. one more than the other?
I probably like singing and performing more just because that's what I've always done. That's where I started. But I love songwriting too. And I have grown to love it more and more, especially now that I'm putting out this album. And it's just a way to express yourself, you know, and to relate to other people. And that's what I love most about it.
So where you're a sophomore in high school when you write Irreplaceable, give kind of the context of that song.
So at the time, I was going to this school that was new, and I didn't have any friends because I came from a different middle school, whereas everybody had come from the same middle school. So
sure,
everybody
they've
had
been friends,
friends
for 5 years already, yeah. And you're going, hey yeah. guys,
here
me,
I am,
Madeline
like
Page,
this oddball.
What's up?
Yeah, exactly. So that was really hard for me, and I'm kind of a shy person, so I sometimes it's hard for me to like go out of the way to make friends. Mm-hmm. Although I did try, and eventually I did make friends, but at the time it was just really, really difficult for me, and I didn't have the highest self-esteem. And I compared myself to other people a lot. And that was just, it was just kind of like that phase for me, that awkward phase. So that's what inspired writing Irreplaceable and talking about the feelings that I had at the time and feeling so alone and not like I belonged anywhere. And also feeling like I wasn't good enough to belong mm-hmm. anywhere and comparing myself to other people. And now, you know, I wanted to put this song out so bad because it really is something that so many people go through.
Absolutely.
So I just felt like it was a really important message for people to hear.
Do you ever get scared where you write and then perform your own songs? They're so much a part of you.
Yeah.
Where you put them out there and go, does anybody like this? Because I love this. And yeah. this is a whole lot of me. So if you don't like this, it in a way, it almost feels like they don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
Kind
of. It's true. I mean, there's a lot of pressure when you are putting a song that you wrote, especially when it's coming from a deep place like that.
Mm-hmm.
When you're putting that out, I mean, there is a lot of pressure. And there's definitely that fear that, you know, people aren't going to like it or people aren't going to understand it. And it's intimidating for sure. And I have had those thoughts, especially with putting this album out. And having each one mean something to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I guess I've just really been trying to focus on the positive things that people are saying and trying to, I don't know, not overthink it and not worry too much about it. Because mm-hmm. I know there's always going to be haters and there's yeah. always going to be people who
well, I
don't
mean,
get it.
I think it was once wisely said, the haters are going to hate.
Yep.
So
there you go.
So that
it's
might
so
be
so true.
I mean, you're welcome to take that. I'm not sure who said that, but
yeah.
you're welcome to take that and write that down
and use that
and maybe mm-hmm. incorporate it into a song.
Yeah, there you go.
talk about the spiritual side of this whole journey.
I feel like I have been so blessed throughout this entire journey. I could not do this, you know, without, you know, my religion, which has helped me in so many ways. And, you know, I have felt just the strength that has come from it and the strength that has come from, you know, my family also being there for me and their support. And I know I could not have done this if I was completely alone and if I didn't have those things. And honestly, I have been so blessed. I can't be thankful enough.
I wish we were videotaping this. You could see the smile from ear to ear as she talks about how she feels like she's been blessed. So I appreciate you sharing that. Everyone that steps into the cultural hall, we ask them three questions and encourage you to answer those three questions. Otherwise, okay. I just ask them, and then it gets really awkward in here because you don't answer them.
Oh,
so,
okay.
But they're easy. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
The first question is, do you have a calling right now? And if so, what is it?
A calling?
Yeah, in the church.
Oh, in the church.
Uh-huh.
I do not
okay.
currently.
If you could pick one for yourself, what would you pick and what and why? And you can make one up. It doesn't have to be one that exists. It can be anything.
Awesome. Probably something with like music or planning activities or something. I think that would be fun.
Or planning music activities. We
planning
can put them both
music
together.
Activities. Yeah.
The last thing that we like to ask everyone who steps in here is, what is your favorite part of your faith?
My favorite part of my faith is the power, I guess, that comes from believing so strongly in it,
okay.
I guess, and like knowing through different sources. And I mean, we have a, you know, a prophet, and we have the scriptures. And I guess my favorite part is just how steady my faith is, and it's kind of like my rock. And I think that's, yeah, that's my favorite part, I guess.
Cool.
Just knowing it's true through all those different things.
People can get the self-titled Madeline Page album and get that song, especially Irreplaceable, all the typical places, right? You can get it online. You can just search it, and you can find it that way. iTunes.
Yep.
Spotify. All those kind of places, right? I'm sure. Yeah.
It'll
be available for everybody to get, so I encourage you to go and get it. Check it out. Thank you so much for being here, Madeline.
Thanks for having
Appreciate
me.
It. We hope that this has nourished and strengthened your body, that if you weren't healthy enough to listen this week, that you'll be healthy enough to listen next week, and that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you on the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row.